Getting laid off is like a punch in the gut. Even if you see it coming, it's still a shock. And until it happened to me, I didn't realize how little we talk about it. So what does happen when you're laid off? And what should you be doing today in case it happens to you? Welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennials figuring out life in our 20s and 30s. I'm your host, Melissa Guller. And each week, we'll explore a new topic on work, relationships, lifestyle, and more. Honestly, I got lucky. I knew the layoffs were coming because I knew the business was struggling, and I could see little red flags left and right. But I'd always assumed that if I did great work, my job would be safe. In 2017, I was part of a significant layoff where 40% of the company was let go. It wasn't personal, and I knew that, but it was surreal nonetheless. I think the toughest part wasn't the layoff itself. It was the fact that no one in my close circle had been laid off before, and I was ashamed to talk about it. How do you explain that you're suddenly out of work? And other than job hunting, what are you supposed to do next? By the end of this episode, Corey Shelton will help us learn more about his journey from a layoff of his own to founding a company. But more than that, we're really here to answer bigger questions like, how do you overcome adversity? And how can you prepare for tough setbacks or things that are out of your control? Corey Shelton is the founder and owner of Lime Life Media Company, a brand strategy and digital marketing agency. Lime Life Media helps purpose-driven companies build more profitable, market-leading brands that stand out in crowded marketplaces. And their goal is to amplify and drive customer engagement, trust, and loyalty. Corey has worked with nonprofits, startups, authors, and more. But what's really remarkable about him isn't just the company he founded. It's how he got there. Before starting Lime Life Media, Corey had a corporate job at a mortgage company. I'll let him share more about his story shortly, but he was part of a massive company-wide layoff that took him from a stable $90,000 a year salary with benefits to zero job and zero income overnight. The road to founding Lime Life Media hasn't been easy, but today he describes himself as a professional encourager who helps others overcome limiting fears, self-doubts, and challenges to live a life driven by purpose. So, Corey, welcome to the show. To start, can you tell us a little bit more about your experience when you got laid off from the mortgage company?
Yeah, so that was interesting because the company blew up really quick. When I say blew up, I'm talking about more from the operation side. So within the mortgage industry, you typically kind of segment things from the sales side and then the operation side. The operation side being the ones that are doing everything else aside from the actual dealing with the clients from the sales perspective. So they really wanted to transition into more of a technology company within the mortgage industry and specifically within the financial industry. And I think looking back on it, hindsight's always 20/20, but looking back at it, there were a lot of decisions that were made in terms to try and get to that goal. There wasn't necessarily a clear direction. So the vision was there, but there wasn't a clear direction. And so they ended up hiring a lot of people and there wasn't necessarily enough work to go around per se. So what ended up happening was, is obviously they had to cut their costs and cut their loss to some degree. And so they ended up laying off around 30-35 people total, myself being one of them. And so that was multiple departments and it really came out of the blue. And there's nothing more awkward than when you get called in to talk to HR and the VP of your department and they tell you, hey, we're having to let everybody go. And you walk back in the room with the rest of your team to find everybody basically being crowded by IT and HR to make sure nobody takes stuff. And it was a pretty crazy situation.
Huh. And what did you do immediately after you were laid off?
Well, fortunately, I myself and a handful of other people got really good severance packages. That was the one thing I'll say is I think that they realized that they made some mistakes and they kind of compensated for that within the severance package that they gave us. And so honestly, the first thing I did was I called my support system, which is my family, to tell them what had happened. I remember kind of sitting out in the car and talking to a couple of other people. Like, all of us were in shock. It's definitely one of those things where it's a life-changing moment. You know, most people don't expect to get laid off, especially if they're doing good work. And so I really decided to take a few days to try and process. I think that making decisions in the heat of a moment, especially if it's something as emotionally charging as being laid off, is probably not the best idea. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, it was a little bit different for me because I got that severance package. So I had at least a little bit of a cushion. But for me, that's what I did. I took a few days to myself to really try and regroup and figure out this new direction. Because in my mind, I had planned on being at this company forever. I love the company. I love the work that I was doing, the team that I was working with. So it was really kind of a reorganizing and trying to figure out this new direction that I was going to take, whatever that was going to be. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's so important that you pointed out that it really had nothing to do with your contribution to the company.
Right.
Like, I've been laid off as well. And I have to say, it was kind of a humbling experience because yeah. I knew I was doing really good work.
Yeah.
And I too saw the writing on the wall, but that doesn't prevent the day of from being kind of a shock that it's actually happening, that you're actually getting laid off.
Yeah, that was the crazy part to me is there's clear writing on the wall. You know, you have this overabundance of staff, but only a little bit of work. There's not a clear sense of direction. Even the vision is very vague. And so if you see those things coming and you're unable to be an agent of change or a voice of reason within that, then I think that that's when you have to start planning for that sort of worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. It's hard when you're in the company and it sounds like you really enjoyed the work. It's hard to maybe notice obvious red flags now that you're seeing them in hindsight.
Yeah.
But you have a career just like the business is trying to stay afloat. Like, the business of you is important too. So
right.
If you do start to see some of those signs, you're not doing yourself a disservice if you maybe start to look at opportunities elsewhere just in case.
Absolutely. And the thing that I learned, so there's a couple of really big takeaways I learned from that. One is make sure that you are documenting all of the work that you're doing from a how you're contributing, the difference that you're making. That's one thing that I really regret. I mean, we helped that company more than double their market share. From a rebranding standpoint, we did amazing things in terms of bringing in new sales talent. We completely revamped the website that was far superior than the competition. There are all these things that we did. And on the surface, I know what we did. But being able to have hard metrics to say this is exactly how I helped transform this company would have been a massive opportunity for me after the fact had I gone a different route. So that's one of the biggest things I would say is make sure that you're really documenting your work. And the other thing I would say is that I learned I used to say I was an introvert, but I would really consider myself more of an ambivert because I can be an extrovert when the situation calls for it. But naturally, I tend to lean more on the introverted side. And one of the things I wish I had done differently was I wish I had established relationships. A lot of people call it networking. I hate the word networking because I feel like it's very surface level. But I wish I had built more relationships within the business community that I was a part of. And I had taken advantage of more opportunities of connecting with more people.
It's funny. Both of those sound like such obviously good ideas. And of right. course, everybody should be doing both of these. But I think right. most people aren't. Like, I know, for example, I tend to focus on the things that go wrong in my job, even when 95% of everything else is going really well. I don't take the time to write down those really great things I'm contributing. And at the same hand, networking, I think, like you said, a lot of people see it as kind of cringy.
Right, sure.
It's not something we want to do, but you wished that you had started making connections, you know, while you were still in this job.
Yeah.
In other words, you didn't wait until you needed somebody to start building relationships.
Absolutely, because then it's kind of like you get in sort of, or it's very easy to get in that desperate type of mode. And I think that all of us know in any relationship, when it feels like somebody is desperate, that's definitely a turnoff, you know, whether it's a romantic relationship, a business one, whatever the case might be. So building those relationships from the outset, even when you don't need them, especially when you don't need them, because you never know, you may be able to actually help somebody, whether it's help them get a job at your company, or whether it's just providing advice based upon your level of expertise and what it is that you do. But doing that, those things, and being very intentional about it, that's the key, I think, is being very intentional about those things, as you would do with anything else, whether it's you going to the gym, eating better, continually learning and growing at the skills that are applicable to what you do for business, whatever it might be, is just being very, very intentional. And relationships are by far something that I've learned are by far the most important aspect, whether you're talking about being an employee, an entrepreneur, owning your own business, whatever the case might be. The people who have solid relationships, or who are able to create the best relationships with people, are the ones that make more money. They're the ones whose businesses take off more. And a lot of times that's why those people actually are more or less in the sales position in a lot of companies, is because that's what they're really good at. That's why you see the top salespeople making the amount of money that they do, is because they're able to quickly establish these relationships with people. So I think even if you're an introvert, again, it goes back to the question of, do you want to grow as a person? Do you want to grow as a business professional? Do you want to grow, period? And if you do, the only place that growth happens is outside of your comfort zone. So if there are people that are listening and they feel like they're more on the introvert side, I would just encourage you to step outside of your comfort zone, even if it's something as simple as reaching out to a handful of people on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. And certainly when you get laid off, you're kind of forced into this uncomfortable situation, right? Like, it was
absolutely
not your choice, but here we are. So
exactly.
I do want to talk about, from the minute that you got laid off, obviously it's been quite a journey to get where you are now,
right,
with Lime Life Media. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you got from there to here?
Yeah, I mean, that was another journey in and of itself. So after I got laid off, I actually started another company before Lime Life Media, with somebody who was the VP of one of the departments there. And actually, I don't call it a failure. It was a lesson learned, a valuable lesson learned. And so I did that for about 5 months, and we weren't able to get the traction that we wanted. We were kind of on different pages. We wanted to go in different directions, all of these things. And the thing that really sucked about that was that I burned through a decent amount of my severance package. And so it really taught me, if you're going to go into business for yourself, this is sort of a sidebar again, but if you're going to go into business for yourself and you're looking at having a partner, make sure that you guys have those tough conversations, whether it's about money, the direction you want to take the company, whether it's big or small, whether you want to go fast or slow, the amount of financial cushion you have versus they have, getting all those things out of the way. I don't think that we clearly did that with one another, simply because of the circumstance we found ourselves in of being laid off. We were just like, we're both good at these different things which complement one another. We both want to start a business. Cool, let's do this. And so I learned a valuable lesson from that, just in terms of picking the right partner. Like, I still love that person. They're amazing. Still have a relationship with them. But there were a lot of things that were just sort of, that we figured out were kind of disconnected. And so I got to the point where I just said, hey, I love you, but I don't think this is working out. I think we need to go different directions. And so we dissolved that company. And then that's when I started Lime Life Media, which was in January of 2017. And really, it took me a few months, which was kind of scary considering the severance package money was starting to run out, to really kind of figure out the brand of Lime Life Media. And to be honest, that's still something. I mean, it's still in the infancy stage, and that's still something that I'm trying to do. I think any good company, even if it's one that's been around for 100 years, should continually be iterating and working to improve and to grow their brand and their business as a whole. I started in January 2017, was able to get a couple of clients. And, you know, honestly, it's been one of those things where there's been some good months, there's been some not so good months, there's been a whole hell of a lot of challenges to overcome. It's been a challenge to say the least, but it's been worth it. And that's the thing that I would say. And I've had an opportunity to connect with people that I never thought that I would. I've had an opportunity to help people in ways that I never thought that I would. And it's been an incredible experience thus far.
That's so great to hear. And congratulations too, because it seems like you've been through some ups and downs, but now you've got this growing business. And like you said, it's worth it in the end, but there are, of course, challenges. So I'm curious, when you do come up against a challenge, how do you overcome it or get through it?
Well, I think we have to recognize that there are different challenges. You know, just being completely transparent here, you know, I lost a relationship with somebody that I cared about deeply as a result of really kind of going for this. And that was a challenge. I've had challenges of trying to lock down deals with people that are procrastinating. I've had challenges of working with clients that are, you know, again, for lack of a better word, kind of a pain in the ass, and learning how to manage them, learning how to deal with contractors, learning how to, you know, from the sales development, prospecting, cold calling process, learning all of those things, which I'm still trying to figure out to some degree. I would say that the underlying thing for any challenge is really just to not give up. I mean, I think the key to any success, whether you're talking about business or in your personal life, if you look at most people, whether you're talking about Steve Jobs, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Richard Branson, like any of these people, whether you're talking about sports, business, whatever the case might be, the only thing that separates them from the people that didn't make it and aren't where they are is the fact that they never gave up. Because if you look at their lives, they've overcome crazy challenges, they failed hundreds of times, and they just never gave up. And that's literally it. That is the key, is to persevere. And, you know, for me, it's kind of one of those things where it's like try again. But I think what people need to add into that is taking a new approach each time. So not necessarily trying the same exact thing that failed last time, but maybe tweaking it, even if it's just slightly like a degree, and taking a new approach. But not giving up, I think, is the biggest key in persevering, because there's going to be shit that has the potential to break you. And I think you have I think it's one of those things where you can't prepare yourself for. And when they come, you have to take them in stride. And something Tom Bilyeu, one of the co-founders of Quest, says, he talks about being anti-fragile. So rather than being somebody who's unbreakable, it's like when those things come, they actually make you stronger. And so that's what I would say is, you know, understand really what it is that you're getting into, at least if you're going the route of, I'm going to start my own business and I'm doing that full time. And be willing to accept the challenges that come, and just make a determination in your mind. I'm not going to give up.
I think that's such an important distinction, because we shouldn't be hoping that nothing goes wrong.
Right.
Because there's no way that nothing is going to go wrong. So instead, right, if you just prepare yourself and say, like, I'm ready, and I know that this probably isn't going to go how I think it is, but I'm ready, I'm committed to this. And like you said, like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah, there's a quote that I love. I don't know if you've ever read the book or listened to it on Audible called Grit by Angela Duckworth, but she says something in there that I think is so applicable to this. She says, enthusiasm is common, endurance is rare. And that, I think, is the key. Again, perseverance. And really asking yourself, okay, am I excited about this, or do I have the capacity to endure whatever comes my way? What is my breaking point, and is there a breaking point? Because I see far too many people who get super excited, especially nowadays, about the word entrepreneur or about striking out on their own or whatever the case might be. And there obviously are any number of ways to get there. You don't have to hopefully don't get laid off and kind of go down that road. It really forced me to do that. But asking yourself, is this something I'm just excited about, or do I feel like that this thing that I want to do is actually attached to my overall sense of purpose for my life? Because if it's just something you're excited about, you're not going to have the endurance to make it down to the finish line, whatever that might be. But on the flip side of that is if whatever you're doing is attached to this underlying sense of, or this deeper rooted sense of purpose that you have for your life, I think that pursuing those things will give you the ability to not give up and to persevere and to make it through. Again, if you look at a lot of those people that I just named a second ago, the things that they're doing now are almost intrinsically linked to who they are as individuals and what it is that they feel like they were put on this earth to do, which makes sense why they would never give up.
I'm wondering, on the other side of not giving up is, how do I know if I'm ready to start?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Melissa. That's not a question that I can answer for your listener. I think that that's something that they have to ask themselves, because there are so many challenges. And at the end of the day, you're going to get so many opinions. Oh my gosh, like, I can't tell you. On one side, I would have people that are like, man, that's awesome that you're doing that. You're pursuing a dream and your passion and what you feel like is attached to your purpose and calling. On the other side, I have people that are like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you could go out and be making, you know, six figures doing X, Y, or Z. Why aren't you doing that? That's a safe route. And so I think that you have to really ask yourself, again, for me, my biggest thing is this sense of purpose. And so I would say that to your listeners, ask yourself, is this attached to my sense of being, my sense of purpose, my sense of what I feel like is my calling in life? I think that all of us have been put on this planet for a reason. And I think it's our job to figure out what it is. I love that Mark Twain said, he said, the two most important days in a person's life are the day they're born and the day they find out why. And I think that most people, or a lot of people anyways, they never figure out why it is that they were born. And so tying that into the question you just asked, I would say, is what you're about to do, this leap of faith that you're about to take, whether it's your side hustle or something you're going all in on, or it's a situation like mine where you got laid off, do you feel like this thing that you're about to pursue, this endeavor in business that you're about to pursue, do you feel like it is inherently attached to your sense of why, to your sense of being, to your sense of purpose? Do you see yourself 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road, still doing this thing? And I think that if people would just ask themselves some of those simple questions, it would immediately eliminate, or it would immediately push them in one direction or another. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm curious, maybe you could use yourself as an example. So can you tell us more about what your why is and how you found it?
I feel like my why, so my what is what I'm doing. So it's the brand strategy, digital marketing, all of those things. But my underlying why of what I want to do, even in this podcast, is my hope is to help people live their highest and best life, whether that's a company that's making an incredible impact through the brand they're developing internally, through their HR departments and how they treat their people, all the way to the external aspect of the way that they treat their clients, and how their main focus is in on helping their clients, not necessarily selling a product or service. From a more personal side, I also have a passion for public speaking and to encourage people from a sense of business development and personal development. And so for me, my why, if I had to reduce it all down, is really just lighting the spark in other people and helping them find their purpose, encouraging them to find their purpose. That's another thing too, I think, is most people get so little encouragement, or we're stuck in our own bubbles so much that we can't see the forest for the trees and we fail to encourage the people around us. You know, to me, that has been probably one of the most fulfilling aspects of taking this leap of faith, is having opportunities, especially because of the freedom that I have, whether I'm at 7-Eleven and I'm having a conversation with the person behind the desk, or I'm meeting with the CEO of a company, of being able to have a genuine and authentic interaction with them and to encourage them, to leave them smiling, to know that how I left them was better than when I met them. And so for me, that's really what my purpose is to help people change their lives, help them find their sense of why, help them light that spark, the thing that they're passionate about. Because so many people are afraid to follow that because they're told, okay, you need to go, when you graduate from high school, you should go to college. When you get done with college, you should find a job. Then you have a family. And then it's kind of like you just coast through life. And for me, I want to help people get out of that, you know, for lack of a better word, sort of that matrix mentality, and actually be able, rather than just being alive, actually living and enjoying what it is that they're doing, pushing themselves to grow. And again, whether that's in business or personal development, those two things aren't necessarily disattached for me, because I believe that all of us, it's kind of like we talk about work-life balance. I think that's an ironic statement. I say it's a work-life integration, because you can't really balance those two things because you're not two people. You're one person living one life. And part of that is going to this job. Part of it is the relationships outside of that. So that kind of the long way around it is really just helping other people, encouraging them and finding that, helping them find their purpose through the things that I'm good at or through things like this, like having a conversation with you.
Do you think that's like, can you sit down and find your purpose, or is it something that's going to come to you one day through working or something natural?
That's a great question. I would say, or I like to say that for me, I look at it as purpose being somewhere close to the intersection of what you're good at and what you're passionate about. Because there could be things that you're great at, but you hate. There can be also things that you're passionate about, but you're never going to be necessarily great at it. But if you can find those things where you're incredibly passionate about it, and it's something that you have a talent for, and you can develop more skills in terms of becoming better in that, I like to think that that's, at least the people that I've met that have a strong sense of purpose, they understand their why, that tends to be sort of the area that they found it. So I don't know if it's something that you can sit down and you can map out on a piece of paper. Sometimes I think that it can come to you when you're at the gym working out, when you're driving, when you're just having a random conversation, you're taking a walk, you wake up from a nap or in the morning. There are any number of different ways, but I think the most important question to start asking yourself is, what is it that I absolutely love doing? And what is it that I feel like I'm great at doing?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And so if you can figure out the intersection, or at least roundabout intersection between those two things, I think that typically that's where you're going to find your strongest sense of purpose and really your why for what it is you want to do for the rest of your life.
I think that's a great exercise that maybe I can't sit down and figure out my purpose right away, but I could start thinking about the things that I'm good at, the things that I'm passionate about, or even just kind of going into my day-to-day with an awareness where I want to take notice of something that makes me feel energized. Or I'd say on the other hand, I like to make note of things that I don't enjoy doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is something that I know I think about all the time because I'm always trying to make sure that the work I'm doing isn't just something that I happen to be good at. It's something that I also enjoy.
Right.
And the book Grit that you recommended, I think is a really great read, because part of what she talks about is that it's not just about talent. You have to really want it. You have to persevere. You have to get through all the tougher parts. And I think that's kind of reassuring to me to know that, sure, you might need a little bit of a knack for something or at least an interest in pursuing it, but the longer you work at it, you will develop and you will improve far better than somebody who just has a natural gift and doesn't put in any work.
100%. This is something I would throw out there too, is what I've realized in my own journey is a lot of people talk about they want growth. You know, I want to grow. I want to find my sense of purpose. I want to do all these different things. But what they don't want is the journey that leads to that level of growth. You know, everybody wants the view. Nobody wants to hike up the mountain. And so I think it, for me, it's really a three-step process that I've sort of figured out, which is, if you want to grow, then understand you're going to go through these few things before you hit growth. You're going to go through struggle, and it's going to suck. And that struggle is going to probably create 99.9% sure, it's going to create an immense amount of pain. And that pain is what's going to cause you to, you're either going to overcome it, and it's going to propel you in the direction that's going to help allow you to actually achieve that growth, or you're going to waste away, and you're going to allow your fears or that discomfort to cause you to regress back to somebody that ultimately you don't want to be. Something that Nelson Mandela says, he says, make your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. When I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, if you can apply that one thing right there in those moments of, you know what, this is a scary moment right now. You know what, this doesn't feel good right now, whether it's emotionally, physically, psychologically, whatever the case might be, but saying, okay, the decision that I'm about to make, is it a fear-based decision? Is it going to take me forward or backwards? Or is it a hope-directed decision that's going to take me forwards or backwards? I think if you ask yourself some of those simple questions that a lot of people fail to ask because they just react in the moment, and our natural reaction is to do what? Pull away. So if you can be more intentional and learn to kind of sit in that moment, even though it's uncomfortable, and ask yourself maybe those two questions, is this a hope-filled or a fear-filled choice that I'm about to make? And is it going to take me in the direction that I ultimately want to be? Or is it going to cause me to regress into a person that I know I'm going to regret? That is my biggest fear, is being 80 years old and looking back filled with regret because I didn't choose to live a bold life that I was capable of living. Like when I die, whatever age that is, I don't want there to be anything left to do. I want them to be like, man, Corey used up every ounce of life that he had. And to me, that's something that I don't want to waste.
Yeah, I think something I think about often is that when I have a choice and I don't go for it, that is still a choice. Like deciding to not do something is still a decision.
Exactly.
And then slowly, if I keep doing that, I become the person who's deciding not to do any of the things that I'm hoping for.
Right. Absolutely.
Like you said, that's a terrifying thought, you know, that I could just be constantly choosing against the things that I'm thinking about. And I think what I usually draw back to is the fact that like the time is going to pass anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A lot of what I want to do is going to take a lot of time, which is hard because right. You really want like the instant gratification. Or I often joke that people, kind of like you said, people don't want to go to the gym. They want 6-pack abs.
Right. Yep.
Like they just want the end result, but
yep. You
have to enjoy the process of going to the gym or whatever your form of physical fitness is if you want that end result. So you have to really enjoy the being in it.
Yeah. I think you just hit on something right there that I wished I had added earlier to the whole perseverance thing, which is the patience. And especially from a millennial standpoint, with the world that most people are growing up with right now, where you get everything almost instantaneous, you know, there's instantaneous gratification. If you want to date, just hop on Tinder or one of the other dating apps, you know. If you want to connect with people on social, go on Facebook. If you want to connect with business people, you can go on LinkedIn. All of these things, which is like instant gratification. And so when something requires patience and perseverance, most people are like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this.
Count me out.
You know? Yeah, count me out. And I think exactly what you just said is so key. Not deciding is deciding. You're making a choice. No matter what you do, you're going to make a choice. So making a choice that's going to put you in a position that you ultimately want to be, I think is the key. But people have to get over their sense of fear or, you know, be able to exert that sense of patience, which is an elusive creature for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because at a certain point, you kind of just have to decide, I want this and I'm going to do it.
Right.
But it's so much easier said than done. And I loved what you said earlier. Like you really have to have a purpose driving it. You have to really want it for some deep reason that connects you to the work. Otherwise, it's going to be very hard for you to persevere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What are some of the things that you're currently working on growth-wise?
Wow, that's a pretty broad question. I mean, there's the business side of things, which for me right now, I would say the biggest challenge. So for actually doing the work from a brand strategy, digital marketing standpoint is easy for me. I can do that all day, every day, even when it comes to like working with contractors, all that stuff. That is where I'm great at that. The part that I'm working to develop from the business side is the sales development process and development side of things. So, trying to connect with prospects, developing outbound sales leads, all of those things, cold calling, prospecting, all of those things are not necessarily my strong suit. So that's something that I've been continually working to develop and try and get stronger at. So that's from the business side. From the personal side, I'm just focused in on my health. And, you know, I go and I spend probably I consider this part of my business. I go to the gym every day for between 2.5 and 3 hours. And I know that sounds like a long amount of time. I do cardio and I lift weights, but where probably a quarter of that time comes from is where I'm constantly listening to podcasts. I'm constantly reading. When I'm there, I'm not listening to music. I'm listening to a lot of different podcasts that are inspiring me, giving new ideas and thoughts. And so probably a quarter of my time at the gym is actually spent jotting down notes, because for me, I do my best creative thinking either driving or at the gym. And obviously, driving is not the best place to be taking notes or anything like that. So the gym is really sort of my creative spot where I go. That's the first thing I do typically in the morning to go in and get my sweat in. It helps charge me up for the rest of the day. but it really gives me a lot of great ideas. So those are two things from a business and personal development side. The only other thing I would say is I'm an avid learner. And so I probably spend another, this is part of being at the gym and driving, but I probably spend 3 to 4 hours a day listening to business, personal development podcasts, and then also reading different books that are helping me grow both from the business side, the personal development side, that are giving me things that I can use to encourage other people. So all of those things together, I feel like are sort of rounding me out in terms of just being a human on this planet and giving it my best and doing my best. And then from the business side, helping me grow the business and be able to better serve the clients that I'm working with at a higher capacity.
It's almost like you've got your physical workout and then your mental workout all at once.
100%. I think those two things go together like peanut butter and jelly. So,
well, I think it's great that you have a dedicated way to work creative thinking into your day, because I don't know if that's something a lot of us are intentionally setting aside time for.
Well, it's hard to do, especially, you know, thinking back when I was working 9 to 5, it can be a bit of a challenge to try and do that, you know, when literally, and this is something that I try to work with my clients, is most people, all they're worried about is doing. I had a conversation with somebody the other day and I said, look, this is all you're doing. You're just doing, doing, doing. So what's happening? There's a lot of doo-doo that you have going on inside of your company right now. You need to, I take a three-step process with this too. Plan, do, review. And most people don't make time for any one of those things. But if you look at some of the greatest companies, they literally set time aside for their people to learn and to grow. Now, I think that's also the person's responsibility. If you want to stay relevant in your market, especially with the way that technology and manufacturing changes and costs and all those things are going down, I think it's also your job to stay relevant. But that's one of the things that is frustrating, I think, with a lot of businesses, is they don't see the value sometimes, not all of them, but sometimes they don't see the value in actually setting aside time for their people to learn. But the ones that do, those are the ones where their employees are happier. They feel like there's a stronger sense of meaning attached to the work that they're doing. They feel like the people they're working for actually care about them, so they're going to work harder. They're actually learning and continually learning, so they're able to bring new ideas, new approaches, new processes, set up new systems within the company. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, they don't do it, but the ones that do, whether it's just you taking the initiative yourself, or if you're a business owner and you start implementing plans or for people to do that within the company, you notice a massive difference in the way you think, the way you approach things, the way you look at the world in general. So I think it's something, if you're not doing it, they're just saying, if you're not growing, you're dying. I think there are a lot of people out there that are just dying a slow death right now when they don't have to.
Yeah, I think that's so important what you mentioned too. I feel like the more positive media, podcasts, books, the more I consume, I really do feel energized and inspired to go out and do more great work. So I'm curious, is there maybe something from something you've been enjoying recently? Maybe a book, a podcast, a site, anything that you would recommend? Or you can give me a few.
Yeah, so one, I'm also a big fan of YouTube. So I love podcasts, and I also have a subscription to YouTube that allows me to not watch the video. I literally just listen to the audio. I would recommend, if you go to YouTube, checking out people like Les Brown, Tony Robbins. For me, even outside of being faith-based, some of these people are pastors that I love to listen to, and I get almost just as much business inspiration from them as I do from the personal development side. So people like T.D. Jakes, Stephen Furtick, people like that. I think if you just go out there, Tim Bilyeu, like I said, the one of the co-founders of Quest, Gary Vaynerchuk, there are a number of people that you can go out there and search. And the thing is once you find a couple, the good thing is it starts suggesting more to you. But going out there and finding people that are going to feed your brain, that are going to feed your spirit, that are going to feed, from a psychology standpoint, they're going to just really help strengthen who you are as an individual. You know, there are things I've heard them say where I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt like I was about to have a breakdown moment. Like literally, I mean, recently, just to give you an example, I had an accident in my family where one of my younger brothers almost died in a car accident. I was dealing with issues with a client. going through a situation, like I said earlier, with that relationship that was really just falling apart. Like all of these things in these major areas of my life, like most people would have an issue just in one area of them, much less all of these things spread out. So you're talking about from your family to your romantic relationship to your business to financial, all these different things in almost complete disarray. And being able to go back to these individuals, that they're kind of like my digital mentors, and listening to them helped provide that direction I needed to sort those things out in an appropriate way. And rather than making emotion-based or fear-based decisions, of really being able to take a step back and make the right decisions to help me navigate through all of those different challenges that literally came up pretty much within a 2 to 3 week span. So that's what I would say is go, whether it's on YouTube or in podcasts. You know, for podcasts, there are so many different ones. A lot of the ones I just named are also in the podcast world as well. But be explorative. I think that's a word, but treat it like that, where it's like, you know what, I'm going to check this thing out. I'm going to listen to a little bit of it. And if it feeds you, if it gives you value, then cool. And if not, then discard it and move on to the next thing. So that's what I would say.
I'm sure explorative can be a word on this podcast.
Yeah,
I think we'll
make
allow
it a word. We'll make it a word.
I think it's a great, if it's not a word, I think we all know what you're saying. Try out new
yes.
things, listen to new people.
Yeah.
That's something that I love about the podcast world too, is that everybody has a unique voice, quite literally. But even if you listen to 10 podcasts on the same topic, the way that they talk about it and the kind of insight that they'll bring you is so different from podcast to podcast. So I love the idea of just really the digital mentors.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great
yes.
phrase.
Yeah.
Kind of nearing the wrap up of our podcast, is there anything that you wish more people knew?
I wish, so there's a couple different things. There's on the business side, I wish people understood the importance of brand, and more specifically, they were able to differentiate the difference between being a brand versus being a business. That's one thing. I know it's kind of vague, but I'll leave it at that just to be short. And the other aspect of it is that you can actually do what it is that you, whatever you're dreaming about, you can actually accomplish that. Is it going to take hard work? Yes. Are there going to be some pains along the way? Yes, but you can actually accomplish the thing that is in your heart to do. And I think that would be the one thing I would want to leave everybody with and encourage them with, is really ask yourself, what is it that I want to do with my life? And if you don't know that, then go back to what we talked about earlier as far as what are you passionate about and what are you great at doing? Because the thing that I hate seeing is people just coasting through life and living someone else's life, or serving someone else's vision, or serving someone else's dream. That doesn't mean that everybody has to be an entrepreneur or a business owner or go out and do their own thing. But there are so many things, even outside of the business world, in your own personal life, that people want to do. They're like these little hidden secrets that they have. Like, I'm scared to tell anybody this because I don't feel like I can actually do it. And I would just say that whatever those things are, to go for them with everything that you have, don't hold back. And to make your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears.
Yeah, I love that quote. So how can people find you? You're doing a lot of great work. I want to hear more about it.
Yeah. So you can find me on a number of different channels. The main website is limelifemedia.co. So that's LimeLifeMedia.co. Make sure you don't put .com, because a lot of people do. It's just .co. You can find me on Instagram. I have two accounts on there. I'm kind of debating about whether I'm going to consolidate or not. There's the Corey Shelton, and that's the business one. And then there's just Corey Shelton. No spaces or anything like that. That's my personal one. And then you can find me on Twitter, the Corey Shelton. I also have a podcast called The Lime Life. It's all about helping people overcome their fears, self-doubts, and limiting beliefs, and help them grow their business and their brand. They can check that out if they want to. But yeah, just go into the website, and if you want to reach out, even if it's just saying hi, you know, I would love to hear from you. I love connecting with people. You can also find me on LinkedIn too, at The Corey Shelton. So I think that's enough places right there.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to include links to all of your social media, your website, everything in our show notes so people can find you.
Awesome.
Well, Corey, this has been such a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Melissa. I really appreciate the honor of being on your show, and look forward to catching up with you again.
This week, we have a try it out challenge or something small you can try on your own. I sincerely hope that you listeners feel a sense of stability in your current job. But even so, you should always be prepared for the unexpected. And even as companies rise and fall, there are a few things within your control, like your relationships. So this week, take some time to connect with someone in one of two categories. The first is to connect with a coworker. You can go to lunch or grab coffee. Just find any way to spend time with somebody outside of a meeting or the office. These work relationships are so important, even if you aren't concerned about the business. And there's never a bad time to build relationships with your current coworkers. The second category is to connect with somebody you used to work with. You never know when you'll cross paths with old coworkers again, or when your interests might realign. So find a genuine reason to reach out and get in touch over the phone or again over coffee. What this comes down to is that the worst time to build a relationship is when you're desperate and you really need something. But if you do have solid work relationships in place, you'll at least have an authentic group of people willing to help you if you find yourself in need of new work. And hey, Corey would love to hear from you too. You can go to limelifemedia.co if you'd like to get in touch with him. And I promise he gave me permission to make this offer, and he's sincere about it. He'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for joining us this week. You can see links to Corey's website, limelifemedia.co, plus links to his social media accounts and every book and resource referenced today at figuringitoutpodcast.com/7. Also, if you did enjoy this week's episode, you can please subscribe to the podcast. You can either subscribe directly inside your favorite podcast app, we're on all of them, or you can go to figuringitoutpodcast.com/7 and subscribe with the easy click of a button. And if you're subscribed via email, some benefits include early access to upcoming giveaways or the chance to contribute your own voice or comments to future episodes. So again, you can easily subscribe within your favorite podcast player or figuringitoutpodcast.com/7. I hope you enjoyed this episode about layoffs and overcoming adversity with professional encourager, Corey Shelton. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.